How do people get started? Where do they get stuck? Does their family really follow along when they want to get organized? Wouldn't you love to peek behind the curtain and see how other people in the 100-day program are actually getting their home organized? Well, that's what we're going to be doing from now on the Wednesday new Organize 365 podcast. I would love to introduce you to your fellow Organize 365 members that are on this home organization journey with you. Let's see how they have gone from disorganized to organized. Merry Christmas. If you are listening to this real time, this is our Wednesday Christmas podcast. I have a special little gift for you. It's my little sister, Emily. Hi, Emily.
Hi, everybody. Merry Christmas.
So I was planning the Wednesday podcasts and I was, you know, doing as I do, moving in 8 million different directions at breakneck speed. And so I sent my sister a text. I was like, hey, you want to be on the podcast? And she said, yes, I just planned it all out this morning. So I was like, well, I'm glad I asked because I wasn't going to ask. So I'm glad I asked. And I know a little bit about what Emily is going to share, the gist of what Emily is going to share, but she's kind of going to lead us through this conversation. And Emily and I are going to get in our little time machine together and go back 10 years and just talk about what the last 10 years in her life have been like. You've heard a lot of what the last 10 years in my life have been like, especially the last 8 years, because Organize 365 will be 8 next month. But before Organize 365 was born, the 2 years before that were pretty rough. I'm actually a little nervous about going back to those 2 years. I usually go back only 8 years. But we're going to go all the way back 10 years. And 10 years ago, well, 10 and a half years ago, was the last Christmas we had with our dad. And that whole year before he passed was a lot of new firsts for Emily and I, in not a good way, but firsts that all of us will experience sometime in our lifetime with our parents or other loved ones. And Emily, I'm going to let you guide us going all the way back 10 years, and then we are going to traverse over the however long this podcast is to the present.
Yes, to the happy days. So thank you for having me. Yes, I feel like this is a God thing. I had been thinking that morning, because everybody on Facebook right now while we're recording this is doing their 10-year flashback with their photos. And I'm like, you can't tell. I mean, I have 11s, they call them, like where you have these big deep canyons in between above your nose now that I didn't have then. But that's all that you could tell from a photograph. And I really wanted to put a message on Facebook basically being like, if you looked at me now and you didn't know me then, you would never know what I had been through. And as I share this, I know, and I mentioned Lisa previous to us recording this, that everybody's struggles are real and everybody's struggles are different. And so I'm not comparing myself to anyone else, and I'm certainly not trying to say poor me, but the message here is a message of hope that I wanted to share. And I thought, well, I'll type out this thing on Facebook, and I thought a lot of people won't read it or it'll be too long. And then Lisa said, do you want to be on the podcast? I was like, yes, that's exactly what I want to do. I want to do the 10-year challenge on your podcast on Transformation Wednesday. And she's like, oh, wow. Wow. Okay. All right. Let's do it. So here we are. That's kind of what started it. And 10 years ago, when I think about where I was in my life, Lisa has shared a lot about the impact of what happened with our family on her, and want to be respectful of the other people in our family who were involved. But just to sum it up for you, I live in our hometown and I have all my life. I live probably 15 minutes from our childhood home. And 3 years prior to 10 years ago, our parents started what ended up being a very bitter War of the Roses divorce that went on and on for a long time and impacted just about everyone in our family in a dramatic way, that culminated then in our dad's death. And prior to that, during the divorce, I had gone to work for my dad's company to help with sales, because there was a period of time where he wasn't able to do that. So while I was there, this divorce was going on. And if you've ever seen a movie about divorce, let alone been a party to one or had one in your family, typically the guy ends up just saying, you know what, just take it all. I don't care. Let me out of here. And in the process of this, I was working for Daddy's company and there were two other partners involved. So there was a situation where the valuation of the company could not be agreed upon by our mother and our father and his partners. And that caused a lot of tension and difficulty for me in my work. And it affected the trust of the partners in me because they weren't sure who I would be loyal to. And as a result, 3 weeks after Daddy died, I lost my job at his company, which I loved and would have stayed and built that company for the rest of my life had I had that opportunity. But it ended up being a blessing in disguise, not that I felt that way at the time. But it gave Lisa and I an opportunity to really focus on all that we had to do in our childhood home. We sold that within, I think, 2 months of his death.
Well, you know, I had a deadline.
Yes. And we were a perfect balance for each other throughout Daddy's death, throughout that period of time where we, you know, let go of a lot of the things that we never thought we would ever let go of. Our parents were the couple of the community, very well known, very well respected, very successful. It kind of came out of the blue for a lot of people. So Lisa and I were kind of like, whoa. Everything is coming tumbling down and we didn't expect that. So Lisa was marching around with a clipboard. I was eating everything in sight. And as a team, we made it through, that, you know, short period of time. But in the process, I had lost my job. I am a single woman with a mortgage and, I almost lost my home. In fact, I had, we had not gotten the proceeds from our childhood home yet. And I did not realize that I was being foreclosed upon and they were going to be having a sheriff's sale the next day when I got the proceeds for that home and I was able to pay what I owed and keep it. So I was one day from losing my home at the same time. And I tell you all these things not to say, oh, wow, poor Emily, but just to let you know, this is truly where I was at the very, very bottom in my life. And I was literally down to my last nickel. Shortly after that, I remember that moment and being like, wow, okay, this isn't just a pun. And my friends joke that I'm a trust fund baby. And I'm like, oh my God, you have no idea. And you don't have the time to hear that. But I do have an envelope in my kitchen that was addressed to EMK, which is what a lot of my close friends and family call me. In handwriting, I still don't know who it belongs to. And it contained $100 cash, and I got that the day before my phone was going to be shut off, and that's how much I needed to keep that going. So I just share those things to say, looking back 10 years ago, there was just not a lot of hope. It felt like every security, every safety, everything that I had counted on had been taken away. And so being Lisa's sister was a huge, huge help, and I have a close friend who lost her father who is a only child, and I know that it's been very hard on her. So I was very grateful for her during that time. And I shared a lot about my career and those types of things when we recorded the podcast previously. So I won't bore you with all of that. But fast forward, and Lisa found her way out of the darkness. If you've heard her depression story, or if you haven't, what is that podcast number, Lisa?
Do you know? I don't know, but I will say I haven't shared very much what 2008 to 2012 was like for me. It was not as dire because Greg never lost his job. You know, like there were pay cuts at his office. Some of our friends and family members lost their jobs, or they lost, they were like laid off for a month or something like that. And long-term, Greg and I often said the fact that he got a pay cut actually hurt us longer term than some of our other friends who were actually like laid off for like a month and came back at their regular salary. It took us longer to get back to our regular salary. The direct sales company I was with went bankrupt the second time during this time. So then I refused to recruit anybody into that company. And so I lost that income. I was cleaning houses and tutoring and things like that. It was after my father passed away that I decided to go back to teaching because we didn't have enough money. We had to pull Joey out of the special needs school he was in because it was $20,000 per year. And even though he needed it, we didn't have the money. So unfortunately, with the passing of our father and the selling of our family home, that money that we received from that home, all of it went to pay for both of the kids to go to that special needs school. That's where the money went. It just went for education and medical needs. But it got eaten up really fast, which is why I went back to teaching. That's when I was depressed and I ended up on antidepressant medication. My father was a very successful businessman, and our parents had done very well for themselves, but the divorce ate away the majority of the income, which is what happens almost all the time when people get divorced. The only people that benefit from divorce are divorce attorneys. Those are the only people who win in that situation. And we were adult children, like, during that divorce, but it still impacted us greatly. And at the time of my dad's passing, due to the way that he passed away, he just had not kept up with his bills. And so it was a huge jigsaw puzzle to figure out who was owed what. And my parents had a trust, as people with money have trusts. But ironically, there was a trustee, and then there was a successor trustee. And both of them, within hours of my father passing, said that they would not be the trustee for the estate, which left us with a trust with no trustee. Let me just tell you how complicated that is. Dad had four lawyers that I had to talk to on a regular basis: divorce lawyers, lawyers for the account, for the company, and then just private lawyers. I will say a couple of things that happened during this time was, I have mentioned about this estate book that I found online, and I will be doing a review of that book on the new YouTube channel, and we'll link it here inside of the podcast. I had gotten that book while my dad was sick, and I was reading that book, and I was trying to figure out what don't we know, because when your parents are divorced and they weren't talking, and our family was very, aren't all families dysfunctional? Family's dysfunctional. So it wasn't like I could run to mom at that time. And then everyone, the perception was that our family still had a lot of money, and that there was a lot of money to be had, and who was going to get the money. Now, there was only Emily and I to get the money, but the perception was that it would be spread around more, and that...
and that there was more.
And that there was more. And really, the money that was left was a little bit in a bank account and then the house. Everything else went to satisfy bills that my father had. There wasn't any other money. And so who do you reach out to? And there was an aunt that really helped us a lot during that time, gave us good advice and wise counsel. But I also, you know, my kids were younger. They were fairly young. They were grade school. They were struggling. We pulled Joey out of the special needs school. We really weren't sure what was going on with Abby. So they were not typical kids. They weren't like going to soccer practice and birthday parties. We were at children's hospital and specialist appointments constantly. Our marriage was very stressed. It was 2008, 2009. I mean, you're all having post-traumatic stress disorder as we're talking about those years. We were watching the economy crash. Ironically, as I look back, there have been many other downturns in the market. I don't remember any of them. Like, I don't remember any of them. I know that I've heard in my family that there was one downturn where my father had invested some money and had lost it. I think it was in the late 90s. But my dad never really invested in the stock market. Our family always invests in businesses. Some people invest in businesses. Some people invest in property. Some people invest in stock markets. Our family has always invested in businesses. And the business, I believe, did fine. So pretty sturdy business, but definitely went on antidepressant medication. And Greg and I were stretched so thin. Luckily, we were still in our 30s, so we had quite a bit of energy. Greg was in his early 40s, so he had a job. We never lost our healthcare. And I just worked to earn money, worked to help our kids, worked to keep the family as much together as possible during the divorce. I about killed myself doing that. And then worked to do things with the family as our father was passing away and as we did the estate, so that I could live with no regrets. I remember going through all of that saying, I want to live with no regrets. So the first person we called after dad died was mom. And, you know, we were very conscious of my mom as we were writing out the obituary, even though at that time we were not really talking because of the dysfunction inside of the family. And I always knew that looking back, I wanted to be able to say that I had done with excellence and integrity everything that I could. And if that meant that I wasn't going to sleep another hour or I was going to use another credit card in order to make it happen, we were going to do it. I remember when you did say that your house was going to be foreclosed on, and I think getting the money out of the, there was one 401k, and that money had a beneficiary. So you really need to look at how you're setting up your estate. Mm-hmm. The car that my dad owned and the house that he owned, we made transfer on death. So they bypassed probate and we got access to those things immediately, but a house has no value. And then when you have a beneficiary set up on your 401k, it passes to the recipients immediately as well. And so I remember I was in town. So we actually went over to the office and we said, no, you need to cut us a check today. And they're like, well, we can't. I said, we will stand here until you can cut us the check today. And they wrote the check and Emily went straight to the bank account and deposited it. And that's what we did. And so, you know, it was just, it was definitely the lowest time in my life as well. Worrying that I was not going to be able to help my kids and provide for our family and trying as much as possible to keep our extended family as close as I could, mm-hmm. whatever I could do.
Yeah. And I think we have, you know, looking back and turning this conversation to a positive one, mm-hmm. I definitely think that for sure on the outside, I can say that you have, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Always, of course, you have been all your life. The good girl never broke a single wave for me, you guys. I was home at 12:01. They're like, you're the devil. But no, you have done an excellent job, at least in my view. And I know in the rest of the family's view too. So that was 10 years ago and time marches on. I was unemployed for 10 months at that time. So a lot of the money from the childhood home that I got went to keeping myself afloat during that time. And then I went on to work at other companies and do other things. And I fought very hard day by day as a single woman to figure it out and to make it. I think I mentioned in the last podcast, you know, my dad was my very best friend. I always wanted to be just like him and relied on him a lot for everything. And so not having him. And then as Lisa mentioned, you know, not really speaking with our mother, it was like, you know, all alone. And, but I'm very proud to look back and say, I did fight hard and I was able to keep this home all that time. There was a time where I bartended at 4 different bars and different shifts throughout the week so that I could make my ends meet and things like that. And this year will be 20 years that I've lived in this home. And I just had my home appraised and was finally approved for a refinance. You know, when you've been laid off, you know, lost your job, like I mentioned, been laid off because a company closed or whatever, it takes a while to get back on your feet. And so for me, that has been a long process. And so when they came to appraise my home and I looked around, and I thought, oh yeah, this has been done. This has been done. This has been done. Because you have to point those things out to the lady to get your price up. And it was appraised for more than I thought it would be. So I'm very proud to say that I've done just about everything that I need in this home to improve it and make it my own. And then the refinance money is going to be to do my kitchen, which is from 1976. And if I could show you the pictures, you would be like, wow. Every time I open my dishwasher, the front panel comes down and makes a loud noise. my cabinets are all bowed. You know, the dishes are just flying out all the time. So I'm very excited about that project. And that is a part of, I know in the typical transformation podcast, you're always asking, you know, what's next? What do you think that Organize 365 and the 100-Day Home Organization has brought you? And when I look back and think about when I joined Organize 365 in January of 2018, inside, I was still very, very broken in my heart, in my head, in my spirit. And so I think for me, the greatest thing, and this is a little plug for the jobs we're hiring for, has been not just having Lisa as my sister, as someone who's always come beside me and held me tight, but, you know, the things that I've learned and how I've seen you transform in your heart and your mind from how you were before to how you are now and the grace that you give and the encouragement and the patience and all of those things. So having the privilege of working for Organize 365 has been a lot more transformational than any of those programs on their own could be. But I definitely think, you know, if you don't work for us, the podcast and the mindset shift has been huge for me. I had the privilege of participating in that self-coaching scholars program. And the first
Brooke Castillo, mm-hmm.
the first video, I was like, oh, wow, this lady had, told about how her mother-in-law had moved in town to be closer to her kids so she could watch her kids, but she wasn't watching her kids. And Brooke said, so what? She's like, what do you mean so what? She's like, so what? She's not doing it. She's not going to do it. What are you going to do? She's like, but she said, Brooke's like, oh, well, move on. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, and our grandmother had a license plate that said, so be it.
Yep.
And Lisa is a lot more so be it than me. And so what? Let's move on. And I'm more like, oh, but let's hold on. Let's think about it. Let's feel it all the way. Cry. And so learning all of that has been awesome.
Progress. Yeah, so what Emily's referencing is Brooke Castillo has a podcast called The Self-Coaching School. I think that's what it's called, Self-Coaching mm-hmm. School.
Self-Coaching Scholars.
And then she has a program called Self-Coaching Scholars where you could pay a monthly fee every month, and then you could be coached by her coaches, and they send packages, and they do all kinds of things. And so as an employee, I thought that would be good for Emily, and so we put her in that program for, I think, 6 or 8 months, something mm-hmm. like that.
6 months.
And I think that if the message of Organize 365 resonates with you and you're getting your home organized, I do help you change your mindset. Brooke does that as an exponential level because the only thing she does is work on your mindset. She doesn't, it's not that she doesn't care, but it isn't, it doesn't matter if you're working on your marriage or weight loss or stopping drinking or your business or your house. She doesn't care what you're doing. It's all about your mindset, and she talks only about your mindset and the way where thoughts come from, and that basically you could change every single thing. She's a little bit more abrupt than I am, and I love it. And I listen to her podcast. I think if you like Organize 365, I think you would probably like Brooke.
Yes, and she also has a abundance mindset.
Yes,
it's definitely an Organize 365 thing. So then I became a part of the team, and once again, we're a perfect balance, I think, personally, and we hear that from a lot of other people. But you know, if you're not a part of the 100-day home organization program, you're obviously listening to this podcast. I would gobble up all of the podcasts that you can.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
Yes. We're just, this is the day before Thanksgiving, by the way.
That we're recording.
That we're recording. But each one of the programs that we offer, you know, I think I told this story in our first podcast, or maybe I didn't, but it's important for them to know.
Okay.
Because people always say, what do you do? And I tell them, and they're like, oh. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. This is the true American dream. Like, Lisa was born to do this. Every Saturday, come hell or high water, Lisa was in her room with her graph paper and her post-it notes, moving her furniture around on a piece of paper before she actually did it, and going through a closet. And I'm sitting on the end of the bed just watching her, talking to her, and she's saying, do you want this? Yep. Do you want this? Yep. And she'd give me all her crap that she didn't want from the last week, and I'd take it all down to my room, and my room was a pigsty. I'm so organized now, but at that time, I was not at all. So all of these systems have been born. I mean, the graph paper and the post-it note program in the planner comes from those childhood days in our Timberline home. Yeah. And everything is systematic like that. So, you know, Sunday basket and the planner I sit with on Sundays, and I plan out my meals and I organize my time. And I am a very organized person, I think, mm-hmm. in general. And compared to my friends, I am. But these systems have definitely taken it to the nth level, where when I get in the car to go do my errands, I feel like Superwoman, you know, and like I'm taking on the world. Ha ha. Even though I don't have kids or husband or anything else like that to manage, it kind of comes in. If you don't have that, you also don't have anybody to help you. So anyway, I think that's been awesome.
I want to say something about that. You know, I have children, so obviously, and I talk about them. And then I also talk about Hunter. And a couple of things I've noticed. If you are married with children and you choose, or you end up staying home with your children, as I have, time feels scarce, and the chaos of children is so never ending that you feel like, what's the point? And so you tend to get buried in the never ending monotony of raising kids and feeling like you're never going to be done organizing your house. I feel like if you have children and you're a woman, you think about that a lot. But in observation, many of the team members in Organize 365 are divorced, or I don't think we have widowed, and we have a lot that are single, or have married and do not have children. A lot. Like, our team really is a microcosm of our audience. It's amazing. They are not very similar. The only one thing I would say is similar is that every single person on the team either has, or in their close family has, a special needs child. That is the one thing that, that is uniform with everyone. But what I noticed the struggle to be when you are single, for many, not all, but for many, is the finances. You have more time because you're not raising the kids, you know, and or your time is all your own. Like I have to say, often jealous of Emily's time, just saying she could do whatever she wants, whenever she wants, like doesn't even have a spouse, like whatever she wants, whenever she wants. But the money and the health insurance and, you know, that is always on her mind and, you know, in our conversations over the last 20 years because she is not working in a, we do not have full healthcare benefits at Organized 365 and she's not married to someone who has healthcare benefits. I have never really thought, I mean, I think about them. I verbally am appreciative for healthcare benefits, but ever since marrying Greg and even as a teacher, I always had healthcare benefits. So I've never not had healthcare benefits. And my husband has had the same exact job since the day I met him. So he's never not had a job. So a consistent paycheck and health insurance has never been a worry of mine. And I feel like a lot of single women, as I was sitting doing the budget for the kids program, this is when it occurred to me. And I was trying to teach my kids about how to do a budget. And I could not figure out how to get enough money in there to do the budget. I was like, oh, you need two incomes.
Yeah, that's not like Lisa math.
You really need two incomes. By the time you just get an apartment and all the things that go with it, like most base salaries are gone. Like there's, it's not that there's no money for entertainment. There's no money for food. Like our whole system is really set up on not just a man and woman getting married, but dual income, like dual income or someone with a really high powered job and someone else that supports at home. That's really what I'm starting to realize. Is the system, and especially inside of Organized 365, as everyone I employ is a woman, and many of them are single, it is the biggest burden that I have on myself is how fast can we get to healthcare? We have a healthcare program, but we do not have full benefits. And how can we increase salaries so that it is the wage keeps going up so that they have a more livable wage? Whereas it would be a livable wage with a dual income, but it's not with a single income. And so I just want to acknowledge that and say that I've really been wrestling with that over, especially the last 12 months. It's a real thing. If you are a single woman that never marries, and I don't know why it's not the same thing for a dude, but maybe it is. But I do think it is more of a woman issue. And maybe it's because women tend to be employed more in the helping fields and men tend to take jobs that traditionally are paid more.
Mm-hmm. And I think most men don't need as much. I mean, if you look in the refrigerator,
truth,
it's beer and butter. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Not to stereotype.
And the beer cans can become the Christmas tree ornaments.
Right on.
Sold. Yes. Just put and I'm like, no, we need to go to Pier 1 and we need to get all the things. And right. Yes. So they do. Right. They can live more simply, you know.
Yeah. And I appreciate that. And I think too, just, you know, back to the beginning statement, you know, there are blessings and there are struggles no matter what you choose. If
yes.
You be married or if you don't, if you choose to have kids or if you don't, you know, and that's where, you know, I laugh at people that look at, with jealousy at other people mm-hmm. in the opposite of their situation, because if you got in that situation, there would be things you don't like about right. that too. So it's always in how you look at it.
But I think that's that, the coolest part.
A lot of people don't realize.
Yeah. Of the Wednesday podcast is hearing from people who have similar or different lifestyles than yours and actually hearing about the pluses and negatives of it. So like, oh yeah, that's right. Emily probably is lonely some nights when she goes to bed by herself for the third night in a row because she's snowed in. You know what I mean? So there are pluses and minuses. And it's almost like on Wednesdays, you get to pretend you live in somebody else's house and then go, oh yeah, that's right. I like my house.
Right. Exactly. Yes. And I think that's key and something that I learned probably way later than most, personally, you know, the grass is always greener because they water it more over there. So keep watering your side and you'll be good.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, well, that's, you know, a lot of what I wanted to share. I just wanted to, just touch a little bit on what a difference it has made for me in these past 2 years being a part of this team. I have worked for many companies over the course of my career. Mm-hmm. I have never worked for an employer that I loved as much as I love working for you. And I've worked for some great ones. And I've never worked on such an awesome team of women, all for one and one for all, without a weak link who isn't going to break their back on Sunday at 10 o'clock at night because we need to do something in time. So that's been awesome being a part of this team, and everyone on the team has had an impact on that. But it's been very transformational for me internally, and I just wanted to share that. And a couple of the things that I would say that have become hallmarks that weren't would be progress over perfection. The discipline, the routines, the do one more thing, do one more thing. The confidence of knowing that you think I'm worth it. Mm-hmm. Grace, the mindset shift from, oh no, poor me, victim, to I can do it one more time, try again. Grace, let it go and move on. Let it go and move on. Squeeze and release, squeeze and release. I have a difficult relationship, and I'll never forget standing outside in the freezing cold at a party listening to Lisa say, just squeeze and release, Emily. Just pretend you've got a squeeze ball and let it go. And that's been something I've employed. And then did I mention grace? So if you're listening to this podcast, I just want to say that there is hope no matter what your situation is. It might be totally different than the things that we've shared here today, but if you are feeling sad, lonely, hopeless, there is hope. And when I look back 10 years ago until now, I can't believe I made it, and you will too. One day at a time, and keep fighting for what you believe in and what you deserve. And we believe in you too here at Organize 365.
Yeah. And I would say one thing that Organize 365 has given me probably more in the last year than in the other 7 years, that I didn't expect, and I am so looking forward to going forward as we move into 2020, which is my year of visibility. That is our word for 2020 is visibility, is that I feel that I was equipped to be a good teacher and a good mother and an organized person to begin with. But what I did not realize until this year and really this fall is that I'm not an inspirational an inspirational speaker, which is what I wanted to be. I'm not a CEO, which is what I wanted to be. I'm not a stay-at-home mom, which is also what I wanted to be. But what I think I am that I'd never heard of before is an inspirational teacher. And I don't know if anybody else calls themselves that, but that's what I'm starting to call myself. And I feel like the thing I love best about parenting, about teaching, about Organize 365 is being able to listen and take information and break it down and turn it so that you've never seen it that way and share it in a story so where you're like, oh, that you can never unsee what I have shown you. So you may think that the story was crazy or, but then like 3 days later, she's like, oh, I do have a lot of time. Like I do have extra time, and you can't unlearn what I have taught you. And because of that, I'm like worming my way into your brain. And so then you're starting to look at other things differently, and you're taking ownership of your life and through your stuff, and you're making transformational change in you. And the more I have realized this is how it happens, the less worried I am about my kids and my spouse and my house, and the less worried I am about what Organize 365 is going to do next, because I know that's really inconsequential. If I can get you to look at your own thoughts differently and start to think differently, then your life will be transformed no matter what. And now I'm seeing it in my kids. Like Joey called me the other day, and I reframed something that he had said to me, and he was like, Mom, you just manifest everything. Like, you're just like a manifesting machine. So I taught him that word. And I thought to myself after that, I was like, how can I break through to Abby? Abby's a little bit harder. It has to be her idea. She's a girl. Like, mom-daughter relationships, you know, they're not all they're cracked up to be sometimes. And I was like, gosh, I really wish that I could show Abby this world of personal development and your thoughts create your actions and things like that. And my kids go to therapy. They actually love going to therapy. I was like, wow, I've really trained them well. They're like, do we have insurance for this? They're like, they're trying to get more therapy. So she comes up to me, Abby comes up to me an hour later, and she said, so I was on YouTube and I found this therapist and I was listening to this thing about how your thoughts create your actions. And I was like, oh my gosh, God, you are so good. You are so good. I didn't even have to do it. Like, he's doing it for me. And I think that's so true. Like, in the beginning, when I started Organize 365, I thought I had to have all of the answers and all of the solutions. And when when the first question that I stopped answering was like 3 years in, when people asked me how to organize husbands. And I said, oh yeah, you know, when I was a house cleaner, I didn't do windows. And as an organizer, I don't do husbands. Like, I don't organize husbands. They got to organize themselves. I said, you need to focus on you. And until every single thing of yours is organized in your house, you can't focus on your husband. And kids are easy, because if you start to get organized, they naturally just start to follow what you're doing if they still live at home. And if they don't, they still do. They still kind of follow what you're doing, because that's just how they're brought up. So it doesn't have to be as overt with kids, and they eventually will either ask or they will just do on their own. And I kind of think that my kids are old enough that they can figure it out for themselves. Like, Abby's room right now is a hot mess. And you know what? It's her hot mess. I can't change that for her. And the less I try to change people around me, and the more I just focus on me and the one person I'm talking to right now, the less I feel like I have to have all the answers from now into eternity, and the less I feel like the answers that I'm giving have to last for the next 10 years. So I would say in the last year, also as a employer, I've gotten much, much better at just looking at the employee that is in front of me and what their next need is, and meeting their next need in their own personal transformational growth, and then providing the next and the next. You guys, if you come to work for Organize 365, we will hire you for a position. And you will have that job title and position for around 10 to 12 weeks. And then from then on, you never know what your title is or what your position is, because we're constantly moving people around based on the projects that we're doing or the expertise that you've gained. And so I'm in the personal development space. Like, I want to see everyone become the best them that they can possibly be. Whether it's you listening to the podcast, my kids, the employees in Organize 365, the person that I will meet at the next cocktail party, which I will talk to until they want to go refill whatever it is that they're having. I'm inquisitive. Like, I ask questions, and I just want everyone to not feel better and be happy, but to learn more about themselves and take ownership of their lives, and then go out and do whatever they were uniquely created to do. And ironically, I have less, you would think as more people start to listen and follow, I would feel worried, but I actually feel more at peace, because I know I don't have the answer. I know you have the answer inside of you, and it's only my job to help you to start thinking about what should you be thinking about? What are your thoughts? What is your next thing? My job is just to start the conversation of you with yourself. My job isn't to find the answer. And so now I'm like, game on. How many people can we get talking to themselves?
And I will say that you have been a talker all your life also, never mm-hmm. stopping talking. So also mm-hmm. another perfect thing about this business for you. But that's interesting, because you hit it on the head, I guess, to sum up all these notes that I tried to put together to say what I mm-hmm. wanted to say. I would say, you're right, as always, it's the ownership of my life, which is ironic mm-hmm. as a single person to say.
Right.
I've had ownership of my life all the time.
Yeah.
I think that when mom left and daddy died, it was like, oh crap, I have ownership of my life. What do I do?
Yes.
And now it's like, hey, I have ownership of my life, yes, and here's what I'm going to do.
Right.
So that's the difference. Yeah. And that's, I would say, to sum it all up, I would say yes, over the past 2 years in different areas, like we were talking about when we were shopping on Friday. You know, this year I was able to get my act together financially, to get my debt paid and get my refinance ready to do my kitchen. And this coming year, I'm going to eat my way through the holidays. And then this coming year, I'm going to get my weight together and my health and my food mm-hmm. and all of that, which, you know, I will say you kind of have to start with the finances, because it's hard to get much else done when you're constantly struggling for the finances. But yeah, out of that can come so many other things. And I'm really excited for 2020 to be a visibility thing on my new figure. Oh yeah. That's what's gonna happen next.
Yeah. Your financial figures, your physical figure, and then your home's figure are the three things that usually run together. And as you're listening to this, if you're listening to this real time, I mean, we're going into the new year, and you're, what is your one thing? Because here's the thing. You want it all fixed tomorrow, it's not going to happen. But if you start focusing on just one thing, one word, one thing, It takes longer, but the actual results last longer. So if we had not invested 8 years into growing Organize 365 to where it is today, we would not be ready to go into a national book tour starting this summer. Like, we would not have all the pieces, all the people, all the pieces, all the products in place. But we have them all in place. All the products are done now. Like, we have our entire line other than the photo program that's coming out next year. So it is all done. And I just hope you guys have a great holiday season. I hope that you believe in yourself as much as I believe in you. It sounds so hokey, but it's so true. Like, if I were to meet you and I'm talking to you, I could just see so many great things coming for you. And I think that's what Emily's saying, that she now sees all these great things that are coming for her. We don't know what they are. Like, I don't know. What positions are we going to have in Organize 365? I have no idea who's going to come into our life in 2020. I have no idea. Like, we don't know what's coming next. We just know that we are ready and we're ready to receive emotionally, mentally, spiritually, just ready for whatever is next. And then working on the next thing that we know that we want to work on. So I hope that you guys have a great Christmas. If you're celebrating and listening to this real time, as I would imagine almost no one is, enjoy the holidays, enjoy your family, enjoy your life where you are today, even if you're in a really hard season. Think about, how did you get into this season? What is the first step out, and what can you do to get out?
I think too, if you don't mind, I'll share. I know when Daddy was having his hard times, he would always say, when I feel sad or I feel lonely or I feel poor me, I turn around and do something for someone else. Mm-hmm. And I've felt the power of that in my life. And also, I'll say, as a single person, you know, people say, oh, you go to the movies by yourself? Oh, you go to Applebee's by yourself? Yes, I have like a list of things I love to do by myself, you know? So Cultivating that, even if it's just going to get a coffee at McDonald's because you like hot coffee, you know, sowing those little things into your life, if you are going through a hard time losing someone you love or things like that, you know, finding those things that bring you joy, even if they're not expensive, to enjoy the Christmas lights or, you know, whatever those little things might be that you can do that are just you.
And Emily, would you mind sharing with them what you do on Christmas morning? Because you are alone on Christmas morning, and maybe some people are listening to this on Christmas morning. And I used to think, oh, Emily, but you really have a fun Christmas morning. So I'd love it if you would share it.
Thank you. So I kind of have made being single kind of a great sport. but so I go up to Cleveland on Christmas Eve to our aunt's house that we used to go to when we were little. And it's about 45 minutes away. And I have this little dog that I love. And they always want me to stay over or come back the next day. And I always feel like, well, I've seen you. We've had our conversations. And now I'm going to be home the next day. Which Lisa would be like, oh, yes, I'll be right back. I'll be right back.
Yes, I would.
A lot of my friends still send me Christmas cards, and for many years I did. I will probably get back into it next year now that I have my act together, but I haven't for the past couple years. But you know, you can come home from work and get the mail and open the Christmas card and then put it on the side and hang it by the mantle if you want to. And then it's like, oh, and then you go to make your dinner or whatever. So I decided, no, I'm not going to do that, because I get a present from Lisa or two. And maybe something from a random friend or something like that. Our mom doesn't do Christmas presents because it's Jesus's birthday. And so I have my Christmas cards. And so I get up in the morning. I usually make like a coffee cake or something like that and an espresso. And I put a fire in the fireplace and I light my candles. And Rocco gets up on the couch with me. And then we open our cards. And after every card, I will send a text message or a Facebook post to each person. And or sometimes call them over the course of that next weekend to connect with them, because a lot of the people I get Christmas cards from, I never see throughout the year, but they're an important part of my childhood or my family friends or college friends and things like that. So yes, I love that tradition. Thank you for letting me share it.
And you know what, as you're saying that, Greg and I are going to Italy in March for our anniversary. And so we've decided that we're not buying stuff for each other at Christmas. Also, hashtag Amazon. I buy everything I want all the time. He's like, there are boxes that come here every single day. I'm like, and the problem is? He's like, stop shopping. I was like, oh, not happening. So I don't really have a Christmas list because I have Amazon. So we're not going to do Christmas presents. And as you're saying this, because we are recording this before Thanksgiving, I'm going to do that. Yay. I'm going to save all of our Christmas cards.
You'll love
and
it.
That's what Greg and I are going to open. We'll have the kids plow through their packages. Doesn't matter how many I wrap, like they plow through that and then they'll be off to whatever they're doing. And we're just going to sit on the couch with the dog and open card after card after card. That will be great.
You'll love it.
I love
and
it.
I used to, and when we would go, when we lived on Timberline, I would, even before this tradition was born, I would go through all mom and dad's Christmas cards.
I did too.
Yeah.
I did too. Yeah.
Yeah.
We like seeing all their friends' cards that they sent.
Yeah. And then, oh, yeah. How's this person doing? How's their son? Et cetera,
well,
et cetera.
And that's so interesting because as my kids are getting older and everything they want is like $500 instead of $5, I'm like, how are we, you know, and Christmas is now at our house this year. It's never been at our house. So at least we always go to Greg's mom's. Now she's coming to our house. I'm like, ah. So all of Christmas is on me. Like, make it fun, mom. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not that fun. But yeah, that's going to be like a solid hour-long activity. And I think Greg and I are really going to like it. And I'm looking right now as I'm getting older as to what are some fun traditions we can have going forward that are not about buying a million presents or, you know, it's just a good one. I think that's mm-hmm. a good one. And I am on my second year of sending Christmas cards. So I'm
yay, I heard yeah. you talk about that the other day. I'm like, oh, she's back in.
Yeah, I'm back in. I'm actually probably going to send them the weekend of Thanksgiving just to family. But
oh,
I'm back
sure.
in.
Brag about it.
I'm bragging
my
about
high
it.
School sweetheart's mother always sends me. That's the first one I get every year the day after Thanksgiving.
Mine is Kim Huell, but she doesn't listen to the podcast. But she's always the one. Like, she'll be the first one. Dink, in the mail. Always.
Yep.
First one.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think next year that's going to be on my list. Something to do. I used to hand make my
yep,
Christmas cards,
me
Lisa.
Too.
I would iron fabric onto mm-hmm. Brown paper. I mean, I was Pinterest.
Yep. Probably I did the embossing and I had the cool embossing holder.
Mm-hmm.
I would do all of them with the little pictures of the kids and the letter. We did the letter. I don't do
yes.
any of that anymore.
Oh, yes.
As a matter of fact, our card, because you're probably not getting it if you're listening, is a picture of us in Florida. Right before a torrential rainstorm. So we had to like cut out the cloud at the top because it's like black. So it's this tiny bit of cloud and then us on this pier. I'm like, good enough, that'll work. And then on the back, I did a collage of pictures because I just don't do the Christmas card anymore. I don't know. I just, yeah, I'm still not there yet. So I did our zoo, from our zoo to you.
Oh, that's
and
great.
So we've got ferrets and Hunter
Benny and the Jets
and Greg with Benny didn't make it. Greg's like, what about Benny? I was like, Greg, I made the cards before Benny was around. Benny's the second ferret, in case you don't know.
My gosh.
There are also six hamsters. They are not on the back of the card, but Greg holding a fish. So Greg is proofing the card as I'm getting ready to order it in the middle of November. I was like, Greg, is this an acceptable fish? Because, you know, he's a fisherman and he's got a, he goes, well, it's from 3 years ago. I was like, no. Boom, on there.
Well, they know now. Everybody knows now.
They're not listening to the podcast either. I'm like,
that's hilarious.
I'm like, we haven't sent Christmas cards in 12 years.
You oh, yeah.
Well, any fish in the last 12 years. Right, yeah. Right. These are the animals. Hunter's wearing the Eagles garb from 2 years prior, whenever they were in the Super Bowl. Greg's like, oh, all my Philly cousins are going to love that Hunter's and the Eagles thing. I'm like, yeah, that's an outdated picture anyway. It's a dog. They don't change that much.
Oh,
so, yeah.
You'd be surprised. When he gets older, he will.
That's
and I can't believe you left out Benny and the Jets. First of all,
I know.
Isn't it funny that it's Benny and the Jets? Do
yeah,
they know,
okay.
that? Does the podcast know that?
So Willow is our ferret that Greg and I got for Abby last year at Christmas. And then Abby turned 18 and she in quick succession did everything that you're allowed to do when you're 18, which for her was buy your own pet. So she goes, she buys her own ferret and his name is Benny. And at the same time, she got two hamsters, gerbils, I don't know, little things. Robo hamsters, that's where they are. She put them together for one night and they made it. And then we had all these babies. And so now I don't even know how many are down there. It is literally a zoo in the basement. So we have, she gets Benny and she gets these two. And so we call it Benny and the Jets. And I sing it all the time. Poor little Willow. She's so cute. Jumping around. Yeah. If you're on Instagram Live every once in a while, they were chasing me around last night. I'm sure they will be all about Christmas. Oh yeah, Abby left, so I can tell you, and this is not coming out till Christmas. Not that she listens to the podcast, but I got the coolest ferret stuff for Christmas.
Oh my gosh,
such cute stuff. It's this little octopus, and the octopus are all like little tunnels, and so Benny and Willow can climb in one and out another one, and they will go nuts over that. And then one of these little balls that has like holes in it, and then you shove the cat balls in it, and so when it rolls, it makes a bunch of noise. And anyway,
Dad would roll over in his grave.
I do kind of like the ferrets, but let's not let anybody in the family know. I pretend that I don't, because then I don't have to do any. I've delegated animals fully to Greg. Anything animal related is to Greg. I don't know how to feed them. I do. I don't know how to care for them. I do. But I say I don't, because as soon as I do, then Abby will be like, I'm not coming home. Go feed my ferrets. I'm like, no, they're your babies. You got to take care of them.
Word. Smart move. Smart move.
Anyway, okay. Merry Christmas.
Yes, Merry Christmas. Make your famous coffee cake, Lisa. You should put the recipe on the show notes.
I don't think we have it anymore. Oh, you do? Mm-hmm. I haven't made that in like 10 years either.
The Lisa Woodruff greatest coffee cake.
I got it from somebody else. You know, I didn't create the recipe.
It doesn't mean you gave them credit.
I did in my recipe box. I put it down as my own recipe when I gave it to you.
Yes.
Hilarious. It's hilarious. Okay. Wouldn't be us having Christmas on Christmas Day if we did not tell you that you need to now go watch Chevy Chase's Christmas Vacation. If you don't have the movie, Emily and I will now start scene one, act one, and we will verbatim give you the movie from here all the way to the end. Ready? Just kidding. You're going to have to go.
Oh my gosh, yes. Best Christmas movie ever. In fact, I never do anything Christmas before Thanksgiving, but I did fall asleep to it last night. It was very low. It was very low. Just, I was like, oh, that's good. I'll just put it on really low so I can't hear it, but it's on, you know? So I got a little
Chevy
bit of
Chevy Chase's Christmas Vacation. Not a child movie, but some of the lines in that, I will say, are said year-round around here on a regular basis.
Yes.
Because they are just classic, as is everything from the 80s. So,
and Chevy Chase.
Yeah, I really do like his movies.
Yes.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Are you loving these new podcasts? Oh my gosh, I could talk to you guys forever. And I love talking to you actually in person. If you have a story and you would love to share it on the podcast, just go to organize365.com/Wednesday to apply.